ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Word is real. The scripture cannot be broken. When God is set to do something, he sent forth his word to us. Hallelujah. The word of God cannot be broken. So, July has been declared a month of harvest. So, I will teach around harvest. Amen. And it's important for us to know that every farmer looks towards harvest. If you're a very good farmer anyway. if you're a farmer and he does it as a business, there is a time of sowing and there is a time of reaping. Am I right? So, it's always tedious when you are sowing. But every farmer, every businessman that is a farmer looks forward to a season of harvest. Glory to God. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Why? Because they did not know the time of their visitation. So, it can be possible that season of harvest is here and some people do not know it. And it's also important for us to lay those emphases to link us to recognizing the harvest. Amen. Amen. It is one thing to sow a seed. It's another thing to know what is required for the harvest. It is one thing to sow a seed. It is another thing for us to know what is required for the harvest. I repeat again, it is one thing to sow a seed. It is another thing for us to know what is required for an harvest. Joel 3:13 takes us further. He said, put in the sickles, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vast overflow. Can somebody hear that? He said, put in the sickle, for what? The harvest is ripe. He said, come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vast overflows. The winepress is full, the vast overflow. So you need a sickle for an harvest. Is that okay? Said, put in the sickle. So there are many believers, our harvests are overripe, but the sickles are not there. Are you with me? No matter how prepared a farmer is that he has sown, if the sickles are not there, then the farmer is not ready for an harvest. And Joel, speaking to us, said, put in the sickle. What must I do to gain my harvest? What must I do for my wine press? For the wine press is full. What must I do that the vats is overflow? It is saying, put in the sickle. And somebody is saying, what is this sickle? It's an agricultural tool that is used for harvesting. Amen? Do you understand? So, I was in Jos in June. So, there were mango trees in the chalet I was staying. We can pluck a mango. As in, is that easy? You know those mango that will grow and bend? It will not use anything. It will just, and I mean ripe one, not unripe one. It was, when I got in there, I just picked like six. I ate it. Yes, I was, because mango is one of my favorite food. I ate mango. I was purgy. Because the harvest was ripe. So, there are some up. So, they had this long, like a sickle. Just, the thing drops. You pick it. So, Joel is saying, the wine press is full. Are you with me? He said, the harvest is ripe. But what must I do to get the harvest? I need to put in a sickle. So tonight we just examine what What are the covenant sickle that I need for my harvest? Are you with me tonight? So, you know, we've prayed. Some of us, we've sown seeds. And especially if you're of the New Testament faith, we believe in seed sowing. How many of you know that? Glory to God. Oh, somebody said, my seed speaks forth. Yes, it is scriptural. But no matter how you sow, if you don't have a sickle, you cannot harvest. Where there is no reaping, sowing becomes a burden. No farmer wants to experience that. Where there is no reaping, sowing becomes a burden. Joa emphasizes that we should put in the sickles, for the harvest is ripe, for the winepress is full, and the vast overflow. Glory to God. So we are asking ourselves, what must I do? What is the sickle that I need for my harvest? Glory to God. And funny enough, it's found in our anchor scripture, Psalm 67. Can you turn there with me? Are we together tonight? I said, are we together tonight? Glory, glory. Psalm 67. Verse 3. He said, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nation be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. 6. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Somebody is not saying amen. So verse 3 says, let the people praise you. Verse 5 said, let the people praise you. After the praising, look at what verse 6 said. It said, then the earth will yield her increase. Is that not harvest? Is that not harvest? Verse 3 said, let the people praise you. Verse 5 said, let the people praise you. After the praising, what comes? Harvest. So one fundamental sickle we must have in our hand tonight is the sickle of praises for our harvest to come. You know, we live in a situation where we live in a system where things are hard. Some of us, as we speak, we are undergoing a lot of things. Yes, I understand. But the scripture cannot be broken. It's not saying you should say your problem to God. It is not saying you should say those stories to God. It's that let the people praise you. As you are sitting there, he said, verse 3, let the people praise you. Verse 5, let the people praise you. Verse 6, then he said, the earth will yield our increase. You know what the earth, what it means for the earth to yield our increase? It means that is a season of harvest for you. After praises comes harvest. Do I have living soul here tonight? Somebody saying, how do I praise in this midst of this situation and circumstances? The word of God cannot be broken. They were in terrible shame at the marriage. They were in terrible shame. Jesus was advising them. Jesus wanted to tell them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. The wine was finished. They were facing shame. So it doesn't matter what you are going through. The word of God cannot be broken. Let's hear that emphasis tonight. Oh, I have not paid my house. And PG, you don't understand. Yes. The truth is, I cannot understand. Amen. I cannot understand. But there is an emphasis for here, for us to learn. He said the vast is full. He said we should put in the sickle. And Psalm 67, he said, let the people praise the Lord. Verse 5 said, let the people praise the Lord. And verse 6 said, after that praising, what comes? Yet everyone that deserves a fruitful season, understand that without praises, you have no access to your harvest. Let everyone that deserves a fruitful season understand that without praise, you do not have access to harvest. Murmuring, complaining is a covenant roadblock to your harvest. Murmuring, complaining is a covenant roadblock to your access, to your harvest. It disallows you access to what belongs to you. The day you embark on the journey of murmuring, how many of you know when you murmur with your, you speak with your nose? Glory to God. Do you understand that? Nobody's. You're just talking to yourself. The scripture did not say you should murmur. Glory to God. He said, speak to this mountain. So, murmuring is an anti-covenant characteristics. If you belong to the covenant, if you are initiated in this covenant, the new creation covenant, you will understand that praises, gratitude is our language. That was why the scripture says, let the weak say, what? Let the poor say, what? I need you to speak to me. Do you understand that he's not taking it the fact that somebody is not weak? But he says we don't speak that way. We don't speak that way. In the covenant, we speak from the point of faith. We see with the eyes of faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. So somebody's saying, I don't have money in my pocket. That is not what he's talking about. Glory to God. Murmuring is a covenant roadblock to your harvest. It disallows you access to what belongs to you. Somebody, I pray to God that tonight you'll be baptized with the spirit of joy. I said you'll be baptized with the spirit of joy. You know, when we whine over situation, your spirit man will not be open to see clarity. You don't, as believers, we don't whine over situation. We don't whine over situation. We don't. It is not the principle of the covenant. You know, on a lighter mood, how many of you have friends that complain a lot? When they are coming, you want to avoid them. Can I see? How many of you, stop for me, you know. See, there are some calls. When they call me, I will just engage them that I'm busy. You know why? If that person speaks for 30 minutes, he's going to complain for about 25, 27 minutes. And how many of you know that complaining and murmuring is contagious? Just like the spirit of joy is contagious. Are you with me tonight? It is contagious. So when you stay around some people for a long time, you begin to complain. What you don't complain about before, many Christians are victims of the plague called murmuring. A lot of believers. We are victims of this plague called complaining and murmuring. We whine over everything. See, I'm a young believer. God did, and the little I've read about this word of God, the little, God never promised you a smooth journey. He only promised you a smooth landing. Do you understand? Do you get what I mean? He never told. Go and read your Bible very well. If you walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, said you will fear no evil, for God is with you. Do you understand? He said, when you walk through the fire, so he's telling you that there will be fire. When you walk through the waters, he's telling you there will be waters. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? So Christianity, it is not a motivational thing. It is life and inspiration itself. You know why we don't complain? We know the end from the beginning. And that's the reason why we should not whine. We know the end from the beginning. Because God, he said, me in all of these things. In all. Not in some. In all. I am more than conqueror. I am not trying to conquer. I'm victorious already. I'm only exercising that victory here on earth. Glory to God. I wrote something. I said, until you become murmuring and complaining free, you remain a victim of no harvest. Until you become murmuring and complaining free, you remain a victim of no harvest. See, I pray that two things. We'll be baptized with the spirit of joy, and God will give us a staying power. If there's a heart cry I have about this service tonight, one, that afresh we'll be baptized with the spirit of joy. Two, God will give us the spirit of a staying power. And that is one of the characteristics of Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is not saying that the heart will yield an increase to you when you pray. Now, everything under the covenant is not by prayer. Are you with me? Everything under the covenant is by obedience to God's word. Everything under the covenant. See, pray from now till tomorrow. Do corporate prayer, individual prayer. Preach heaven down. He's saying, let the people praise the Lord. Let all the people praise you, God. Verse 5, let the people praise the Lord. And what will happen in verse 6? Glory to God. I'm going somewhere tonight. Somewhere tonight. And I want to deal with the subject of depression. Glory to God. It came so strong last week, and I feel a sense that we need to dwell on it tonight. Is that okay? Depression is a design of the enemy to keep the believers a victim for life. Depression is a design of the enemy to keep a believer a victim for life. Once you are depressed, it suspends your thinking. You wire in that problem. You are sunk in it. That's the word. Are you with me? When someone is depressed, he becomes qualified for oppression. It's a gradual state. And how many of you know that depression is gradual? It comes in subtle. It stays. It isolates you. You begin to stay away. The scripture is clear about this. It says, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. And I've said this here times with numbers. When you are going through hard time, that is not the time to miss church, please, as a believer. In that service, there might be a word of encouragement. In that connect group, there might just be a word that will lighten up that. You understand what I mean? Going through hard time, when as a family, that is not the time to stay away from the body. And a lot of believers make these mistakes. When we're going through hard time, we disconnect. See, the church is not a showbiz business. It's not a showbiz. You are not here to impress anybody. You are here to serve God. Are you with me? You are here to serve God. So, it is normal for you to go through the trials of life. It is not out of place. You are not cursed. You have not fallen into sin. Praise God. Is somebody with me tonight? You know, when some certain things happen, some say, are you sure you are paying your tithes? Are you sure you've been praying well? How many of you, they've canceled you like that? Are you sure you are not involved in one secret sin or the other? God is a loving God. He doesn't punish people. Amen? His love towards us is reckless. Amen. So one of the advantages that you attend a Bible-believing church is when somebody there is a process of restoration. Are you with me? Please. There is a process of restoration. There is a way they walk you back and you trace your step back to faith. Praise God. Depression is the bait for oppression. See, and we can see that Nigeria ranked number 28 in suicide. How many of you know that in the world? It tells you that the rate of suicide is alarming. How many of you read news? Nigeria is number 28. So there's another report that came out that we are first in Africa, but there's another report that came that we are third. Yeah, there are two reports. So it depends on the research that was carried out. So But the one that said Nigeria is number 28 in terms of suicide in the world is a global one. It tells you the rate at which people are giving up. It tells you the rate, and a lot of those suicides are as a result of depression. Glory to God. So when they get isolated, when they are depressed, it is the bait of the enemy to get you oppressed. And at that point, when you are depressed, you lose your sense of reasoning. So if they tell you that is why when they begin to tell you things, unbeliever, you begin to swallow them, because that person is depressed. He has lost his or her sense of reasoning. Glory to God. Glory to God. And as a church, we need to rise up to it. Jesus is the answer for the world today. As believers, we can't be depressed. We can't. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I said the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even when there is a casting down, I just tell myself, I know that this will end in praise. If you have people around you that have isolated themselves, this is time for you to reach out to them. Jesus is the solution. See, therapy will not solve depression. People relapse. Amen. But when you come in contact with the gospel, it is one-off. And joy unspeakable well up on your inside. You begin to laugh. You are not in Alibaba show. You are not in a night of 1,000 naira. You just begin to burst. You begin to bark. So the spirit of joy, which is one of the fruit of the spirit, gets activated in you. Glory to God. You know, Paul admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians 5. He said, in everything we should give thanks, for this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, Paul was speaking to us. He said, we should give thanks. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for every one of us. If you're a member of this faith, this is what Paul is speaking to us, that in everything we should give thanks. In Hebrews 10:35, he said, having done the will of God, you will obtain the promise. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul speaking to us, he said we should give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Hebrews 10:36, Paul was speaking, he said, having done the will of God, which is giving thanks. Glory to God. Can you link up those scriptures now? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul speaking said, in everything we should give thanks, for this is the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36, he's saying that having done the will of God, we will obtain the promise, having given thanks. Glory to God. Hebrews 10, 35, 36, and 37. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tell someone, I refuse to complain. Tell somebody, I refuse to complain. I refuse to murmur. A scripture that touches me so much, 1 Corinthians 10:10. Glory to God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. The spirit of joy is battered here tonight. We say no to depression. We activate that gift of the fruit of the spirit tonight over every member of this church. In the name of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:10. No, it said, not complain as some of them also complain and were destroyed by what? John 10:10 said, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to do what? We know that the devil. So we should not, for any reason, complain. He said, not complain as some of them. So can you give us the KJV? I think he explains KJV, Old Faithful. Captures it. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Can you just lift up your hands this evening wherever I am? I refuse to complain. It's not in my spirit. I have a grateful heart. I am full of gratitude. Glory to God. When you give in to complaining and murmuring, you give room for the destroyer. And we know what the destroyer... See, you cannot give the devil a space in your life. It's a disaster that is going to happen. You cannot even afford it. He will occupy that place. And Apostle Paul emphasizes this to us critically. And it was expressing. For you to live in abundance, you have to be addicted to abundance of praise. For you to live in abundance, you have to be addicted to abundance of praise. For you to live in abundance, you have to be addicted to abundance of praise. Glory to God. Praise God. Somebody is saying, I have no reason to thank God. Well, I'm here to tell you, there are 1,001 reasons for you to thank God. I said there are 1,001,000 reasons for you to thank God. Praise God. Scripture. You know, we are full of story to say, I don't know how I'm going to bounce back again. I don't know how I'm going to go about it again. No matter what you have lost, God is the reason why you have not lost everything. See, God, there is one major attribute of God that as believer, you must understand, is a restorer. That attribute, he won't see. See, if I batch Pastor Philip's car, I will plead to fix it. Do you know that? And if I take it to the panel beater, it cannot be like the first one. But do you know God is capable of replacing that car with a new one? That is what is called restoration. Restoration is not repairs. See, the way we relate with God is the way we transact business with our, that is not the way God is. When God heals, he doesn't heal alone, he makes whole. Okay, let me give you an example. Okay, I had a surgery here about 7 years ago. The mark of the surgery is still there. Am I right? But when God heals, that mark, as in, you won't see the mark.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,